coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Race the Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate your tuning in and giving us the chance to bring a little Saratoga into your living room in a year where it's tough to get a little Saratoga live. Obviously, again, we continue with a no fans situation here. But, you know, and I've now popped around the city to various venues during the afternoon, and the watch parties have been successful with some social distancing and wear your masks on your way into to these venues. But people are coming to town still and trying to get a little bit of the flavor of Saratoga, and hopefully that's worked out for you as well, or at the very least, you're enjoying sitting by your pool in the backyard, pulling up the Capital OTV app, and enjoying some of the racing, because the racing's been great also. But as I say, we're happy that we're up here in our usual location, right in front of Clare Court, and able to bring you some of the backstretch flavor every morning. This morning, a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Terry Finley. West Point Thoroughbreds, they, of course, have decorated Invader in the Saratoga Derby tomorrow, which, leader in the clubhouse in that subdivision of three-year-olds on turf, as far as I'm concerned. That fun division for me, I always like it every year, and decorated Invader has just been fabulous throughout the career, including this year. But we'll talk with Terry a little bit about decorated Invader, what they expect tomorrow, and a couple other of the West Point horses that have had nice performances recently are aimed for nice performances going ahead. Also, a little bit later on, we caught up with them across the street at the Horseshoe, because, again, it's tough for people to get back here this year. But A.J. Benton, and if you don't remember, earlier this year we were at the National Handicapping Championship in Vegas, and A.J., who is a New Hampshire guy, but a viewer of Capital OTV when he comes to town, and he makes it to town for Saratoga every year, and AJ was the leader after day one of the National Handicapping Championship, and we interviewed him for that. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about his visits to Saratoga with him, and said next year we'll, you know, next summer we'll, or this coming summer we'll have you join us on the backstretch and maybe do a little handicapping. And again, it's a different year, so we couldn't get him back here, but he still came to town like a lot of people. A lot of people still, Saratoga, they come, they meet some friends every year or whatever, and so AJ has been in town, will be in town this week. So, again, we fired up a picnic table across the street at the Horseshoe and talked to AJ a little bit yesterday about today's card. He'll talk a little handicapping contests, and give a couple of opinions for this Friday afternoon at Saratoga. But we're going to kick things off with our friend Gary Contessa. Again, he's doing some interviewing for us at various locations, backstretch and around town and whatnot. Today's Gary Contessa interview is with prominent New York owner Michael Dove. So again, we appreciate Gary and his work on these interviews. And up next, it is Gary Contessa and Michael Dove.
Morning, Gary Contessa at Oak Ridge. And I have a very special person with me today. I have owner Michael Dubb, and most of you probably know Michael Dubb from the winner's circle, because every time you turn on your TV, one of his horses are winning, and he's got Monomoy Girl, which is one of the best horses in the entire country, and he's had a lot of success in this business. And today I hope to show you a little insight into who Michael Dubb is, just a little bit. And we're at Oak Ridge, which is his vision for Saratoga. And if you want to see more about Oak Ridge, go to YouTube, search Oak Ridge Michael Dubb, and there is just an amazing video there about his vision for what he's built here at Oak Ridge. And Mike, it's really good to have you this morning.
Thanks for having me, Gary. I appreciate it.
Well, Mike, what we're trying to show the viewers, and we'd like to hear about, is let's go back years and let's hear about what got you into this business. How did you, like, at what point did your life change and did you decide horses, or did you wake up a horseman? How did it happen?
No, actually, my first trip to Saratoga, I was 17 years old. I had met somebody through my landscaping business, and their business was a product called the Kelco Calculator. And the Kelco Calculator was an early handicapping device that took information from the racing form and threw out numbers. That was before we had buyer speed figures and before we had rags and sheets. So they were involved in the horses, and I got friendly with them. And we came up here together. I had a van. I slept in my van in parking lots in Saratoga at age 17. Came to Saratoga Racetrack, fell in love with it, and have been coming back to Saratoga ever since. I'd always been a fan of the game. And about 20 years ago, I was asked by Jerry Bailey to think about how they could have a daycare center built at Belmont Racetrack, because the kids of the backstretch workers were sleeping in cars. They didn't have anybody to care for them. And it was really just not right. And being a home builder, I always wanted to do something for kids. So to make a long story short, I wound up building the daycare center at Belmont. And it was only after, and it's important to note that it was only after I built the daycare center, I thought it would be fun to own a few horses. I had met a few trainers. I really didn't know trainers before I built the daycare center. So I thought it'd be fun. So I claimed a few horses, and one thing led to another. And I'm still building houses, and I'm still racing horses all these years later.
And it seems like on both fronts, you're getting bigger and bigger. Because I was driving through Oak Ridge here for about 20 minutes, and it's like endless. And it's just one beautiful house after another, and we have some new houses being built to our left. But let's get back to the Belmont Child Care Association. You're chairman of the board, and you did all that work. You had that vision for a group of people you really didn't even know. I mean, you weren't an owner yet. You have such an incredible benevolence about you that you would build that place and then donate it to the New York Racing Association.
Well, I guess, you know, having been somebody who did physical labor myself, which I did, I think I had a special connection to those people who worked so hard at the racetrack. And it was just an opportunity for me as I was developing my own home building business and being successful to do something for people who work so hard. Yes, I am the chairman. Going back 20 years ago, I just wanted to build it and ride off into the sunset. But having watched the children come in and having watched their development and having watched the pride the parents take in watching their children develop, it almost became like an addiction. I could never leave it. And, you know, we could talk about all the winners that I've had on the racetrack. I've been very fortunate, but it pales by comparison to the success of the daycare center and the joy that the children have given me and the parents have given me, knowing that in some small part I can make a difference in their life.
One of my favorite sayings is that if you can make a difference in the life of a child, this is to have truly succeeded. And I've always been a big believer in that. And if that's the case, you've succeeded beyond boundaries, which is really amazing.
Well, I really appreciate that. I look at the daycare center at Belmont and now the daycare center at Saratoga that's under construction truly as the gift that keeps giving. Yes, we give to the children, but the pleasure all of us. And it's important to note, I'm a builder. I'm a guy with hammer and nails. But the success of the organization, both downstate and here at Saratoga, really is a collective effort. We have a phenomenal president, Libby Imperial. We have a phenomenal director in Joanne Adams. We have a phenomenal board of directors. Some of the you know, names you'll hear in racing, Terry Finley, Sol Kumin, Don Little are on our board. We have some great board members. Laura Barillo, who's just phenomenal. She's involved with the Jockey Club. And it's really a collective effort. I'm the guy with the hammer and nails. I'm the guy who wants to do, but it takes a team. So it's not really just about me.
Now, tell us about the Saratoga child care that's being built now. Was that also your vision, or was that a collective vision of your board? I think it's a fantastic thing for the kids.
Well, it was, I kind of sprung it on the board and just said, we're doing this. But the board wanted it, and the board endorses it, and the board's 110% behind it. We wanted to close the loop. You know, we want to keep families together. In the summer, we had a situation where, you know, often the mother and the children would have to stay downstate. The father would come up here to work. We wanted them to be able to all come here and know that they had a place for their kids. In a normal summer here, there are a lot of employment opportunities around the track. And so I'm not obviously in the backstretch, but ancillary to the backstretch, there are other employment opportunities. So by keeping the families together, I think the families can also, and knowing there's daycare, they can maximize all the employment opportunities there are here in the summertime created by Saratoga Racing.
Right. I think that that's a fantastic thing for you to have picked up on, because really that's what Saratoga backstretch was lacking. We'd send, me as a trainer, I would send five or six guys up here. They'd have to leave the wives behind with the kids, or they'd have to leave the kids behind. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, we really want, and, you know, NYRA has been supportive in trying to enhance the backside. We've redone the dormitories, the bulk of the dormitories there. And that's something, you know, we want better living conditions. We have a few more ideas that we hope once we get back to normal we can do on the track that will really make the living better for people. And the other part of Saratoga with the daycare center is we have trainers who come from out of state in a normal year. And knowing if they come and they have a place for their children at Saratoga while they do their work, that will help also.
Right. Absolutely. Fantastic, and a great foresight on your part, and we really appreciate you doing that. Let me ask you something. Do you have any race time superstitions or any things that, or any rituals for when you race a horse? Because it seems that everybody in this business at one time or another has their superstitions. I remember when I was training, I wore a white suit all summer at Monmouth Park every time I ran in a stake race, and damn if I didn't show up at Aqueduct in December with my white suit on because I wanted to win the stake.
Yeah. It's funny, I think I've read about, somewhere I read that story about you in the white suit at Monmouth and how terrific your career was starting out at Monmouth. But I will, if I win a race, I will go back to the same exact spot for the same race. And even if I lose, I'll stay there a little longer, another race or two, just to see if that's the spot, because we realize we can't win them all by far, but that's my superstition. If I was in a chair and I won a race, I'll be in that same chair. If I was standing somewhere, I'll go stand the same place. But you know, I'm not a guy who wears the same underwear every day if I win a race. But
they are out there.
They are out there, plenty of them.
No doubt. Well, Mike, I can't thank you enough. And you are the most benevolent owner I have ever met in my life. And I can't thank you on behalf of Capital OTB and the horsemen of this state and Belmont and NYRA. We are so blessed to have you as an owner, because you've done so much for the people on the backstretch, and you've done so much for the people that really were overlooked for so many years, and I really can't thank you enough, and I can't thank you enough for this interview. It's been great.
Gary, it's my pleasure, and no thanks necessary.
Is there anything you'd like to say, or do we pretty much cover it?
No, I think we covered it. Let's just all pray that everybody stays healthy and we get back to normal as soon as possible.
Great. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's Gary Contessa with Capital OTB and Michael Dubb at Oak Ridge. And I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did. This was great and very informative. Thank you, Michael.
No track, no problem. There's no better place to follow the Saratoga race meet than Capital OTB and OTB TV. With our live TV shows from the Saratoga backstretch and our live remotes, all the information you need is right here. Each and every day of the Saratoga meet, we talk with all the top trainers, jockeys, handicappers, and racing personalities. So stay with Capital OTB and OTB TV this racing season and win more.
It. Watch me. I got it. Hey! I got something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got a move that tells me what to do. If you don't, brothers and sisters, then you won't know what it's all about.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning, Alabama Eve. And, of course, Alabama is the highlight tomorrow. But on the undercard, another really nice stakes race, the Saratoga Derby. And it includes the three-year-old turfers division. If you listen enough to me, I love the three-year-olds on the turf. I think there's lots of opportunities for them around the country during the year. And every year it seems like two or three nice horses float to the top. This year there's one horse that's floated to the top, and certainly we've been rooting him along right from the beginning of the career because owned by our friends at West Point Thoroughbreds, Decorated Invader. We will talk a little bit about that one and more with Terry Finley of West Point Thoroughbreds. Terry, good morning.
Hey, Seth, always great to be on. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Happy to have you on and talk a little bit about you. You're out of town, correct? You're going to be watching from afar.
Yes. You know, I know the governor's he's trying to do the job, and I just wanted to pay attention to the rules and the regulations. And we're up there at the beginning of the meet, and we came back. We're all ready to come back for this weekend. And I saw if you do come back up to Saratoga from Kentucky, you're in your house for 14 days. So I figured I'd watch it from here, and, you know, I keep our fingers crossed that everything works out with this colt.
Yeah, well, I think you're in a good spot, and let's talk about Decorated Invader, and we'll go back and take a look at the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame at the beginning of the meet. Decorated Invader is going to be the number 7 horse here. A nice win at 2-5 as he gets up over, gets smoking, and just talk a little bit about this performance up at Saratoga in what was his 7th career start, his 5th win. And what's the word? It's how he came out of this race, and how's he coming into Saturday?
Well, I think back, you know, that was already at the beginning of the meet. We're already past the halfway point, so we got to slow this meet down a little bit, Seth. I'm you know, asking you to do everything you can because it's going by too fast. But, no, we thought he'd be tough in there. And, you know, at the top of the stretch, you know, he certainly didn't look like a 2-5 shot. There were some horses that ran – you know, really big in there. Chad's horse was a good third, and the Tommy Bush colt, I mean, he ran a great race. Yeah. He did all the dirty work, and we just kind of picked up the pieces. But I thought it was an effort, right, that was going to put us in a good spot to run well here, and everything's turned out well. You know, he came out of the race well, and he's had two works at Oklahoma. I think he's put on a little bit of weight. You know, we saw him if you look at YouTube, you'll see a picture of him out in the round pen. So all systems go, but I do know that the water is a lot deeper here than it was, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah, particularly the barn mate, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But purchased this horse September 2018, couple $100,000 at auction. And just talk about, boy, as a partnership, this is the kind you want. I mean, you get him, and he's just been a powerhouse. Yeah. I know you guys have been high on him from the beginning of the career. I know last year, the debut, the second place finish, I know there was some disappointment because you were expecting big things right out of the box, but then followed up with the win up to Woodbine for the win in the Grade 1 up there. And so just talk about, I'm always interested, when a horse goes to the track like this and you have that level of confidence and he validates it, how soon after you purchase the horse do you realize, oh, we did get something special?
Well, you know, ironically, we bought him and he was okay. You know, he certainly wasn't at the top of the pack. We send a bunch of horses every year that we buy at the yearling sales to Eddie Woods in Ocala. And, you know, I will tell you, when I look back at the reports, there were several others that seemed to stamp themselves as above the level of a Decorated Invader. And we had all the partners down there in April of his 2-year-old year for a kind of a spring fling. And he got outworked. You know, he got outworked. And I was like, man, I'm not sure about that Decoration of War colt. Right. But he did it on the dirt. And I guess about 3 weeks later, I get a call from Eddie Woods. And he says, you know, I put that Decoration of War on the turf, and he seems to go a little bit better. So, you know, we were thinking everything, you know, he could be a pretty good prospect. And he got up to Christoph, and I think it took about 3 weeks. And I got a call one day from Christoph, and he said, I think this horse can run a little bit, which in the parlance of the Clement Barn, you know, that's really saying something. That horse can run a little bit. So we were excited all summer. We were all summer, and he ran to that hype. And interestingly, I think the fact that he got beat the first time, that afforded us a chance to give him a shot in the grade one, right? Because if we win, we probably go to the with anticipation. Then we go to one of the fall stakes at Belmont to try to get to the two or the Breeders' Cup. So the fact that he got beat, so we were able to break our maiden in the middle of meet, that afforded us an opportunity to go blind.
Look, we lost you there for a second. We lost you just for a second. But yeah, we were up at Woodbine that weekend and saw the West Point crew up there. And certainly there was a lot of jubilation with the grade one under the belt. Then you went out to the Breeders' Cup. And I've said right along, and I've talked to you guys before, that fourth place in the Breeders' Cup was better than it looked. Given that course and how wide he was, that was a nice performance. That's the only real blemish on the record. And again, I don't even think that's a blemish.
No, I don't think it's a blemish. I mean, I actually, Tommy Belhas and I were talking about it the other day. We, you know, you remember, right, when you're trying to get to the Breeders' Cup and you go with a loaded gun and you just get unlucky and you have a bad trip, you know, you walk out and you're like, I can't believe it. You know, there. I mean, we have a big stable, but, you know, it's a special thing to get to the Breeders' Cup. Yeah. And the fact that we were there, and we thought we had a real shot to get the money. You know, it was a good kick, but it really focused us over the winter. We didn't try to do anything fancy. We didn't want to get sucked into trying him on the dirt, even though he works very well on the dirt now. And the pandemic occurred, so we were able to push him back a little bit. So I think all those things, I think they're paying off now. We have a good colt, right? He's towards the end of the summer, and he's only run three times. You know, I think tomorrow will be a very, very good spot for him. I think it'll be a great test, and I think it will put us in a position where we'll be able to know exactly what to do the last couple races of 2020.
Talk a little bit about when the PPs came out and the field was set, what your feelings were. I mean, as I said earlier, it's your barn mate, Christophe Clement and Gufo, the horse coming out of the Kent that I think people are looking at as maybe the alternative. But Field Pass coming out of a couple of nice wins recently as well for Mike Maker, who on the turf at the meet has just been phenomenal. So as I say, when the PPs came out, what were you thinking then?
Well, I'll talk about Field Pass. I'll give you a quick story. The day we got beat in our maiden, we got beat by Field Pass. He ran a good race. I mean, that day we were second best. And I went over to the prime to get a stake and to wallow in the misery of losing quite a bit of money at the windows. And the owner of a Field Pass was at the bar right next to me. He had his iPad. And he played the race like eight times over in the course of a dinner. So I had to look at that eight times while trying to get a good stake at prime.
That's the worst.
So it was just ironic. But, obviously everything's different in our world. Everything's different at Saratoga. Except one thing. You know, these races are very deep, and people still want to win at Saratoga. So I guess from that respect, they're not giving away $500,000, in our business or anywhere else just because you show up. And I that's one of the things I love about the horse business. Yes, we're going to be even money or 6-5, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, any one of the other seven horses gets to the wire first. I mean, it's probably the deepest field that I've seen. I know I'm a little bit biased, but it's a really deep and competitive race, and I would hope that, you know, there's going to be a lot of money bet on the races because there's so many different ways you can go. And at its essence, right, betting is what really drives our business. So I like the fact that we're going to play a part in what should be a moneymaker for all of us.
Yeah, and again, rooting for you guys, the gold and the black will – always like to root for the locals, and Decorated Invader has certainly been fun to follow throughout the career, and the three-year-old season has been phenomenal. As I said, I love these three-year-old turfers, and he is the leader in the clubhouse right now, but this is a nice loaded field tomorrow, but wish you a lot of luck there. But I wanted to hit on a couple other performances recently from the West Point runners, and some nice performances that I think are leading into maybe some stakes races coming up in the next month or so down the road, and get some thoughts. And we're just going to go back less than a couple of weeks, to Monmouth and the Tyro. You got a nice little two-year-old here. County Final. We're going to watch the stretch run here. County Final will be the number four horse. Career win number two in career start number three. The only second place finish. Good second in the Bashford Manor last time behind Casadero. Talk a little bit about County Final, and you know, you picked him up at a sale earlier this year.
Yeah, we picked him up at the beginning of July at the Phasic sale in Kentucky, which, you know, those sales are really starting to bring a lot of credibility to the market, in the sense that, you know, people are able to bring two-year-olds that have already run, they've already shown a bit of talent level, and you know, there's a feeding frenzy when those kind of horses, you can see them, you can vet them, and you can, you know, put them in an auction ring. And so I know we didn't get him at a discount. We paid $475,000 for him, but he had already won Workers Maiden on turf, and then was second in a graded stake on dirt. So we thought he'd those are the kind of horses you like to get a hold of. So we bought him, we sent him to Steve Asmussen, and we put the Tyro as a circle, and he ran well, and we're going to go to Kentucky Downs. We're going to run in the three-quarter sprint for two-year-old colts, and it's a $500,000 purse. So, you know, I'd like to think he'd be pretty salty in there, but, you know, these are the kind that you like. I'm not sure he's a colt that wants to go the Derby distance. Right, but that's okay. You know, not every one of them is cut out to be, and the sooner you accept that and you acknowledge that, I think the better it is for these horses, especially. So I think he's going to be a horse we're going to have a lot of fun with, and you know, that's always a good thing, is to have one of the like a couple of those horses in your barn that are going to run hard, that are going to be honest, and are going to operate and run at the top levels of the business. So we're excited about him.
Yeah, and he may turn out to be a crafty little two-year-old purchase, because that Tyro was scheduled for the grass, was moved over to the dirt, as we saw, but boy, just put his head down and ran. The career debut, though, was a win on the turf, and as you say, now going down to Kentucky Downs to try the rich sprint on the turf. So maybe there's some distance limitations, but turf and dirt, you have a lot of options going forward. He's going to be fun to watch and see if you made the crafty purchase at auction.
Yes. Yep. I think, you know, he's by Oxbow, so, you know, I wouldn't think he's strictly a 5/8 sprinter, but, you know, he's a big, good looking horse. And, you know, I sent a note to Joe Bravo after the race. I think Joe Bravo won our first race ever at Monmouth Park in, 1993. So I sent a note to Joe. I said, just like the old days, Joe, just like the old days. Yeah, so I got a big smiley face back from him. But, you know, I think that's one of the cool things, too, if you think about owners and jockeys communicate a lot on, Facebook. And, you know, I know I keep track of those guys. And, you know, especially the younger generation of riders, they seem to really participate quite a bit on the social media side. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
I think it brings fans and owners and trainers closer to what they're thinking and their lives. And, you know, I think it exposes them in a good way. And I think it's going to help our game overall, because obviously the horses and the jockeys are the two stars of our industry, bar none. And I think the more we get to know our horses and our jockeys, the better it is for all of us.
Yeah, I agree completely. The game plan on social media for some of these younger jockeys, I do think appeals to what will be the next generation of horse racing fans. So like you, I applaud that as well. Wanted to show another recent stakes winner for West Point, Galilean out in Southern California. At Del Mar, he's going to be winning the California Dreaming here on July 26th. Going to be the number two horse, Flavien Prat, on board. And looking at the West Point website, it looks like you have a Del Mar Stake, the Del Mar Mile, maybe on tap for him coming up.
Yeah. We bought him as a two-year-old. He was an expensive purchase, and you know, he started out, he was 4 for 5, and he earned his way onto the Derby trail, and he didn't go on, and we did get sucked into running him in the Derby. He was fifth in the Arkansas Derby, and we backed up on him. We just gave him some time. We figured it'd be good to try to turn him into a good four-year-old. And you know, I think when I think about our management, you know, those are things that I'd like to think we're doing better than we were, say, 20 years ago, is we're trying everything we can to get to these top levels. And I tell you, Seth, it doesn't come by accident. You know, there are a lot of talented horses out there. There are a lot of them that are called, but few are chosen. So I'd like to think all those decisions, the support and the patience of our partners in particular, right, has given us a shot to give this colt every chance. And you know, it's a cool thing. Coolmore, they stand Uncle Mo. He's by Uncle Mo. They bought into him during the Triple Crown run, and they've been great partners. You know, very patient, and so we're excited. We think if he were to run well in the Del Mar Mile, you know, we probably have a prep race, and we take a big shot or a big look and a long look at the Breeders' Cup. But you know, I think he's a really, really cool horse. An extreme amount of talent, a great-minded horse, and we're excited about the late summer and the fall for.
That was a nice
Galilean.
Yeah, it was a nice race we just saw there in the California Dream, and refuse to lose kind of an effort. I always like those where they will not let the others go by late in the stretch. And I just wanted to show one more because we talked about County Final maybe heading down to Kentucky Downs for the rich meet down there. Kenthaka may be headed, according to your website, to the Kentucky Turf Sprint, but I wanted to show the nice performance. I think the Jiper, year in and year out, is a race that produces horses you have to watch from that point going forward. And Kenthaka, really a solid second behind Alexandra here on the move to the East Coast earlier this year. We're going to watch the stretch run. The winner will be the number two horse, but Kenthaka, a good second, the number one horse, just gets beat by a neck in here. But maybe off of this effort, headed down to Kentucky Downs.
Yes, that's a really good filly. You know, unfortunately, she got hurt in that race, so we're not going to have to face her again. She'll be out for a little while. But, you know, we purposely, we bypassed the Troy, right, because he seems to run well fresh, and I think spacing is very important with him. So we looked past the Troy very quickly after the Jiper, and we said, let's put a circle around the Kentucky race. And you know, it's a lot of money, and I think it's probably the richest race outside of the Breeders' Cup for turf sprinters. And so we're going to give him a shot. He's a, you know, he's a really, really cool horse, and he's honest as the day is long. And we're excited about him. You know, there again, we had to give him a lot of time. We were forced to, but you know, it's really great when they pay you back. You know, you invest in them and you take care of them, and they have a shot to pay you back. I mean, that's a win-win for everybody. And we think he's going to be a force this fall, sprinting on the turf. And that's Kenthaka.
Yeah, as I always say, there are maybe a handful of races during the year where I think from that point on you have to watch the top two or three, and the Jiper is one of them. So Kenthaka is going to be interesting down at Kentucky Downs. And Terry, before we let you go, just for folks who maybe have now listened to this and have seen the West Point Silks come down the stretch and head into the winner's circle and maybe thinking during this pandemic period, hey, I've kind of gotten into this horse racing thing. Maybe I'd like a piece of a horse. Talk a little bit about, we'll put up the graphic with the West Point website, westpointtv.com, and I've complimented you guys before. That is really a great website for people who are just interested, but your partners, lots of great information there. So for folks who are maybe interested, swing by the website and then get in contact with you folks to learn more about West Point?
Sure thing. All they got to do is Google us, you know, Seth. But I'll tell you, I know I'm biased. I'd love for people to contact us. But I think you see, you know, partnerships are taking over our business in a very positive way. You know, they're all over the place. And I think it's just the best thing. And the rate of acceleration of the power and impact of our partner of partnerships in general in America is, you know, astounding. And so I just say I'd love it. I'd love to have you come for us. But if you don't come with West Point, take a look at a lot of other good partnerships out there. But the key is you got to get into the arena, right? You have to get into the arena to get the brass ring. And I tell people, you know, the great thing about partnerships is you just have to put a little bit of money in to get your feet wet. And I will tell you, the vast majority of people that get their feet wet, they get the, you know, the sickness. I don't want to talk about sicknesses, you know, this time, but, you know, they get the bug, so to speak, and it's tough to get rid of the bug. And it's such a great game. And I think our best days overall, I really do. I think best days of our industry, although we'll be different, I think the best days of our industry are ahead of us.
Yeah, I agree, because I think this, as I say, has brought a lot of new eyes to the game over the past few months. So yes, there is a little bit of a silver lining that you really have to search for a little bit, but I think it is there. And, you know, knock wood, next year the fans are back here at Saratoga, and I know seeing you and your partners, you know, I always at some point during the season, I'm standing a little bit back that big screen on the bottom floor of the clubhouse. I'm standing behind the West Point folks, and win or lose, it's fun to watch you guys. A lot of big smiles for the partners. And I know, like a lot of other of the partnerships during the Saratoga meet, it's great for partners to come into the paddock and get them out here on the backstretch some mornings. Haven't been able to do that this year. But, again, knock wood, hopefully next year we'll be back at it. But, Terry, before we let you go, just once again do want to wish you a lot of good luck tomorrow with Decorated Invader. We will be rooting for him.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Chef. And thank you very much.
Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds, again, Decorated Invader tomorrow in the Saratoga Derby. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, A.J. Benton, again, leader on day one of the National Handicapping Championship this year. So we talked to him when we were out in Vegas and typically visit Saratoga. We said, hey, this summer we'll have you on board. And so it's a little bit different. Didn't get him to sit in here, but we did meet across the street. So when we come back, we'll talk to AJ Contest and get a couple of picks for this afternoon. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Thank you. I think what you guys are doing is awesome.
You're doing a great job. Keep that game rolling.
Seth, you do a great job too. So thank you, and I appreciate you having me on, and I appreciate watching your show every day.
Joined now by our friend AJ Benton. If you remember when we were out at the NHC at the beginning of the year, we talked to AJ during the weekend as he was the leader after day one, and said he was coming up to Saratoga. I said, when you get in town, we'll have you swing by the set. Obviously, that has changed. We're across the street
yes,
at the Horseshoe, but still happy to have you on board.
Oh, thanks, Seth. You know, it's been a crazy year, and we're just trying to make the best of the situation, and we'll just keep watching the horses.
Let's go back to the NHC and remind people who maybe didn't have a chance to catch us when we were live out there. First timer at the National Handicapping Championship, but again, after day one, you were at the top of the leaderboard. What was that like?
Oh man, it was amazing. Just, you know, I had friends, family, you know, people that I even know really, really were into it, and they were just, you know, my phone was just absolutely out of control. I had to, like, put it on mute because it's just, it was just obnoxious.
And you wound up with a nice little prize as the day one leader, right?
Yeah, I ended up getting the $10,000 BCBC, which was great. You know, me and my wife always wanted to go to Keeneland. Hopefully, we'll be able to get to go and take a shot at 10 grand. So
you haven't heard any one way or the other?
No, I'm still waiting to hear back from the Breeders' Cup. I'm hoping by September they'll sort of give us more definite answer, because, you know, I know they put term limits on the Derby, so I'm hoping maybe we get lucky enough to get to go.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you too, because I know a trip to Keeneland will be fun, in addition to being able to play in the contest. But again, a great weekend out there for a first-timer. Talk a little bit about, you and I were talking before we went on the air, and I said I've been playing some of the online contests myself. I started during the quarantine situation, but I've been jumping in the little $18 weekend qualifiers during the week. It's a lot of fun. But you qualified on online for this year's NHC, right? Like, fill us in for folks who maybe aren't familiar with the contest scene.
It's pretty much qualifiers. You get points based on the amount of people you're up against. So every Friday, like, there's a massive amount of people that are in there, and they have like a calculator of, you know, if you're in the top 10% every weekend, you get a certain amount of points, or, and then it just calculates out, and you sort of want to get to like a threshold. And even if you don't qualify, you can still get in either way. It's, you know, it's $75 every Friday. You're up against the most amount of people, you know, maybe get lucky, pick a couple winners, and you finish high enough consecutively, or, you know, over the course of the year, so you can get enough scores to play in it, which is, you know, the NHC is a whole different ballgame. It's just, you know, it's like a marathon, you know what I mean? You just gotta, you know, spend the time and look through all the races and try and find value and stuff that people aren't going to find, you know what I mean? It's just digging for value.
Have you qualified yet this year?
I have enough points, so I'll be part of the non-qualified right now. So even if I do qualify, which I'm still going to try and do, I'm really, really pushing for trying to get two seats for next year. And I'm just going to keep on rolling.
Nice. Talk a little bit about playing the contest. And are you mostly online, or you do some live events as well?
Well, this year I usually do online events. Like this year is different than any other year. In previous years, I would play in the Four Star Dave, and I'd play both days for the tournaments here in Saratoga, because it's one of the only ones I can get out to. You can play online. Usually they have $500 bankroll ones. I'm sure you guys do them too. And they offer great value for getting seats there. The seats are available. You just have to be willing to put up the money to do it. And, you know, $250 live bankroll, or, you know, if you're just playing the races for the day, you might as well just put it up anyways.
Yeah, I always tell people that if you haven't tried the contest, try them. You have to think a little bit differently, try to find some value. I think it helps your handicapping overall. So if you haven't tried, there's a nice online contest. Naira's got the weekly contest up here, as you say. Capital OTB offers some contests as well, and I highly recommend jumping in and playing around. We talked to you again out in Vegas and got some of the background, but fill us in some more. How'd you become a fan of the game?
Oh man, for me it was my uncle and my dad. They used to take me to Rockingham Park, and we would
The Rock,
which is no longer The Rock. It's literally just a bunch of businesses now, but that's where I fell in love with horses. For me, the first horse I actually fell in love with was this little claimer that was at Rockingham, and I'm like, you know, love this horse. He ran his heart out every single time, and he, you know, I think he ran to like the age of 10 and got retired, and I don't know if he ended up on a farm somewhere. And and then the biggest horse I ever fell in love with, probably for me, was probably Extra Heat. I love that horse. She was a 6-furlong dirt monster. She'd run at Delaware. She'd run, you know, down in Florida. She'd run everywhere, and she'd always run big every single time. She would run as fast as she could run. They could put 128 pounds on her, and she would still run her heart out.
I'm
going to give you a little inside info then, because we just talked to Dan Collins across the street on our set, who's the managing partner for Bonaventure. They plan to start a two-year-old this year from Extra Heat. Look for Mohit.
Mohit
from Bonaventure a little bit later in the meet.
Should be fast.
Speaking of the meet, you're not local. So you come in every year to enjoy Saratoga, and I love it, a true fan. Even with no fans allowed on track, you came in this year. What was the deciding factor there?
Well, me and my wife come here every year, and we said, you know what, despite everything, we were going to come either way. We just said, you know, we might as well support the businesses out here, and we love all the people, and, you know, we have some friends that we've met out here, and every time we come out, they always want to see us. So we're like, you know what? We're going to go either way, and we're going to enjoy it, and we're just going to embrace whatever we can do and try and find things that are interesting and fun to do. And if we can find a place to watch the races, we'll watch the races and, you know, just try and make it more of a carnival atmosphere for ourselves.
I think everybody is great in that boat this year, whether they're local or coming in from out of town. And there are a lot of people who make the annual trek to Saratoga that have come this year. Like here at the Horseshoe or some of the other venues around town, there have been watch parties. I think people are finding their fun regardless. And certainly the racing has been great. Give us some opinions on what you've seen so far in the first 20 days, particularly this past weekend. Tis the law
is dazzling. I honestly don't think they really found the bottom of him yet.
Well, Manny was barely using him in the last 16th of a mile.
I don't think Manny even moved his hands after he straightened him out. He just serious horse moving forward. I think if there was a chance for somebody to catch all four of them this year, he's probably the best one. He looks, for me, I wouldn't really steer too far from him on the Derby unless you want to lose money.
Speaking of money, how's the handicapping been in the first half of the meet?
It's been up and down. Like, you know, if you can be patient and wait, sometimes there's horses that you can find at length that can offer you some value. There have been some prices more earlier in the meet than recently, but if you can dig for it and you can do the replays and everything else for it, you're bound to find maybe one or two out of the day that'll pop up and win. And I'm sure we've seen that on a couple of days that we've, at least the last recent, you know what I mean?
Talk about that a little bit, your handicapping philosophy. I'm kind of a meat and potatoes guy. I like the Daily Racing Form PPs. The buyer figures play an important part in my handicapping. And up here at Saratoga, I love the two-year-old races. And you can go out and on the internet, you can find out a little bit about the breeding. And so the two-year-old races intrigue me. But what is your approach to handicapping on a day-to-day basis?
I like the clocker reports. They actually give you some nuggets in there, and they pretty much tell you how the horse is doing in the morning. Some horses can't translate it over to the afternoon, but the ones that are good, you know, the horse that won the Saratoga Special, clockers gave him a B+ last week, and they pretty much told you that Casadero was nowhere near as good as the other Asmussen horse. So, you know what I mean? He pretty much was, you know, a bet for me, just because the main fact is, you know, I knew Casadero was a nice looking horse, but obviously this horse has way more ability than the other horse. And I use the clock reports. I don't like to, you know, if I see horses, you know, not too many horses that are C+ or less, they will win some races, but they won't win that often. I look for horses that are either B-, B+. There is some A-, but the clockers really, really are very, very stingy with giving those type of grades out to anybody.
It's good to hear, because I have Mike Welch on every couple of weeks, and we talk about the clocker report, and I say just what you kind of verified, that you can find some nice nuggets in there, maybe some prices like that Asmussen horse, I think may validate that idea. Speaking of handicapping, let's get some ideas for Friday afternoon. You had a couple of opinions to toss out to the folks. And let's start out in race number one on Friday. Maiden 20 claimers going a quick 6.5. You think there's kind of a real lean on to kick off your early pick five on Friday?
Yeah, I think the 7-8 and unlucky, Ricardo Santana going back in distance, getting a fast track where he ran an 82 speed number for me on Brisnet. He went to the lead, he tried to get to it, and he just, you know, ran out of gas late. So now he gets to go back from the switch, from a route to a sprint, and I think he might be ripe to be the likely leader and maybe all the way around.
And you were also talking before we went on the angle I like also, the maiden special weight to maiden
claimant. Yes, yes. Big, biggest move in horse racing, maiden special weight to maiden claimant.
So number seven, Aiken Unlucky in race number one. Let's move out. There is a kickoff to your early pick five. Let's get some ideas that'll be in the mix in the late pick five. Race number eight, state bred optional claimer with the C condition. They're going to go 3/4 of a mile. What did you think of the eight?
I like the seven with Irad Ortiz, Kazmania, third off the layoff. Looks really, really tough. He had to pause in his run last time, and I think if he didn't have to stop his run, he probably would have had a better finish moving forward. And I think today he might get a little bit of a pace setup and might be able to run him down late in the lane.
6-1 with Irad.
No, especially with Irad. He's been really, really hot. Him and Jose all meet have been tough to beat. And I just, I took a stand with the horse. I just thought, if Irad stayed with him, there obviously was a reason why.
Race 8, number 7, Kazmania. Again, a nice little 6-1 morning line. We'll see if that holds up. Race number 9, also an optional claimer with a C condition. A little bit of a higher claiming price, and they're on the turf at 1 3/16. I'll be interested to see what you did here, because at the top of my page, I have wide open written. What do you have in the night?
Well, believe it or not, for me, I think that the 11-horse Bundy Bunyan is going to relish the cutback in distance from that 1 3/8, where he showed that he was going to sit right off the pace, and he just couldn't get there late with Irad, and now he goes to Manny, which is okay for me. I don't know if there's a super amount of pace, but there's going to be enough pace for him to run into, and he's going to sit right off of it. So I think for me, going forward on tomorrow, he's probably going to run huge, going getting the cutback from 1 3/8 to 1 3/16.
On the morning line, I like that.
Yeah,
that's
he's huge. Yes, he is, definitely. Value, digging for value.
So clever ideas at prices in the 8th and the 9th, and a nice start perhaps with a lead in race number 1 as well. AJ, appreciate the visit. We're happy you made it up to Saratoga so we can talk to you in person again.
Oh man, I definitely couldn't miss Saratoga no matter what it is. So for me, I appreciate the time and appreciate you having me on, and hopefully I can pick you guys some winners tomorrow.
Good luck, have fun, and hopefully in some fashion, either we're there or virtually, we see out in Vegas this year, too.
Yes, for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
A.J. Benton, again, he was the day one leader at the NHC last year, in his first year. So now with some experience under the belt, upward and onward. All right, we'll be back in a few. Stay tuned. A.J. Benton, again, first time out in Vegas this year, and at the end of day one was the leader. And again, that's a pretty nice day one prize. He gets the $10,000 entry to the Breeders' Cup Championship. So again, wishing him the best there, and hopefully they will be live out at Keeneland. But I guess that has yet to be decided. But again, if you've never played contests, I wanted AJ on also just to kind of push contests a little bit. I talk about it a lot. Normally at Saratoga, I can push the contest idea once a week when I tout the low rollers. There is no low rollers this year. They're doing a little more of a live money thing here at NYRA on the weekends. But there are plenty of opportunities otherwise for contests. You can go online and find some contests, or with Capital OTB, go to the website, click on the tourney bets link, and there are different price points, including free, which is the best price point of all. But you can try different formats of contests and whatnot. And as I say, you have to think a little bit differently. I think it helps your handicapping. But if you haven't been a contest player, give it a shot. I think you'll have some fun. And again, things can kind of work out your way, regardless of how long you've been in the contest game. Because as I say, AJ, his first year out at the National Handicapping Championship, a nice result out there with the first day leaderboard and that entry into the Breeders' Cup, the Rich Breeders' Cup contest. So thanks to AJ Benton. A little bit earlier, thanks to Terry Finley, and good luck to the folks at West Point Thoroughbreds. Terry and Tommy Bellhouse, Joe Migliori. I linked to it. It may still be, if you go down the page a little bit, a link to, I want to say it was Channel 13, one of the local channels, did a nice little profile of Joe Migliori, working for West Point now, but of course Richard's son, and Joe for a few years was intern in the press box at Saratoga, so he'd be running around there, but now working with West Point, and as I say, they did a nice little profile
I think it was WNYT, but again, I'm guessing if you go to Equidelian and scroll down a little bit, you may still be able to find the link to that. It was a nice little piece. And then top of the show, also thanks to Gary Contessa and Michael Dubb for their interview as well. Leaders, as we head into day 22 on the jockey side of things, the Ortiz brothers deadlocked at 33. Joel Rosario just behind with 30. Javier Castellano goes back to that next layer with 16. But 33-33 for the Ortiz brothers, 30 for Joel Rosario on the jockey side of the ledger. On the trainer side of things, Todd Pletcher in the lead with 17. Christophe Clement with 15. Chad Brown and Michael Maker tied at 14. Linda Rice with 9. Steve Asmussen, 8. Rudy and Jim Bond tied at 7. But Todd Pletcher currently in the lead with 17 as compared to 15 for Christophe Clement and 14 for Chad Brown. Again, these human stories, the leaderboards on the jockey and trainer side have been fun almost from day one of the meet. And hopefully, you know, things will continue that way through the last few weeks. It's always fun. I think there's some real pride taken when you wind up on the top of the leaderboard at Saratoga. And if it continues playing out the way it has so far, it will be a lot of fun to watch that. All right. Nice day of racing here this afternoon. Certainly a big day tomorrow as far as the programming here on the network. Obviously, you can watch races throughout the afternoon and the evening. But tomorrow morning, things return at 9 a.m. with the handicapper support. 10 o'clock with Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Eddo. Expect another big show from Brian on the Saturday morning. I didn't mention earlier when I mentioned the promos. Don't forget nighttime thoroughbred racing. With the Del Mar meet out there and whatnot, nighttime thoroughbreds available here on a pretty regular basis throughout the month of August. So keep that in mind as well. Enjoy the nighttime thoroughbreds on Capital OTV TV and CapitalOTVBet.com. All right. Once again, I'm wrapping it up for this edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the races this afternoon. As I always say, and most importantly, cash a few tickets. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning. Handicapper support at 9 a.m.
Racing Across America with Seth Merrill. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for life. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.